Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Very grateful to Independence Health System for putting together an entire series on heart matters for the month of February. February is Heart Awareness Month. It's very critical that all of us learn more about our heart, how it functions, how to keep it safe, and really preventative measures that can help us avoid seeing many of the physicians that we're talking to over the next month here for our Heart Matters series on WHJB. Today, joining us is Dr. James Addisey. He's the medical director for the cardiovascular service line in the Westmoreland area of Independence Health System. Joining him is Denise Addis. She is the vice president of cardiovascular services for Independence Health in this region. So, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last week we had a wonderful conversation with Dr. Hiro Sukui, who is the chief of cardiothoracic surgery for Independence Health's Westmoreland campus. And he talked a lot about the advancements in care, how many more cases that are happening, hundreds and hundreds of cases that are happening here in Westmoreland County. He talked about aortic aneurysm repair, something that normally you would have to go to Pittsburgh to have done. He talked about the new clinic that's being started in Greensburg in partnership with many other departments, including just the mass amounts of testing that's being done. All of these, just wonderful things that are happening. And he credits a lot of that to the service line working together. The cardiologists are catching these things and referring them to cardiothoracic surgery before it's too late. And he said, screening is key, and people understanding and knowing their body, that little chest pain, that twinge of pain that you have, and not ignoring that. So I want to start with you, Dr. Addisey. Let's talk first for people at home that are listening to this and saying, I've been short of breath for a couple of weeks now. I've been getting a little bit of pain in my chest. What do you say to those people?
I think the most important thing is for people to understand that you cannot ignore those types of symptoms. At one point, a person would have chest pain and think it's probably indigestion. I do think that we have a lot more education out there on the internet, on television, radio, where people are understanding that anything you feel between your nose and belly button anymore may very well be cardiac in origin. And so I think more people are starting to pay attention to that. Now, obviously, when you go to the emergency room, sometimes it turns out to be a gallbladder or reflux, but those things tend not to make you die suddenly. If you miss a cardiac issue, you might die very suddenly. The interesting thing is medical knowledge has gone on now. We're finding out that if you look at the common reasons for people to die in this country today, it's generally heart attacks, and this is worldwide. Cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer in the entire world. Heart attacks, strokes, and cancer are usually three of the top reasons for people to die. And as I explain to the patients when I see them in the office, that as medical knowledge has gone on, there's actually a lot of interconnecting pathways in all three of these diagnoses. So the same type of treatments and preventative care, things that you would do to protect yourself from heart disease, in a lot of ways also helps protect you from developing certain types of cancers. So for instance, I give people the idea of there's a big eight that I tell them that if they did this, they would significantly reduce their risk of premature death from heart attacks, strokes, and many of the cancers. And that's don't smoke, don't drink, exercise, watch your weight, watch your blood pressure, watch your cholesterol, watch your salt intake and sugar intake. If you did those eight things, you would significantly impact the likelihood of prematurely dying from those three main causes. So these are things that aren't very expensive, and each individual person has the control of. So that's part of a lot of our New Year's resolutions, but just to realize that many people that don't realize that despite your genetics, you have control. control your fate. Another thing people can do in this day and age to kind of look ahead and find out in advance if they're at risk is, for instance, I tell people that, let's say if you're a female, you get a mammogram so you don't get breast cancer. If you're a male or female, you do a colonoscopy so you don't get colon cancer, so you can predict your future risk. Well, why don't we do the same thing for the number one killer in the entire world, which is coronary artery disease to this day? And we actually have a test to help screen people that's very easy, it's not very expensive, and it's called a coronary calcium score. So, for instance, it's a CAT scan where there's no dye, there's no IVs, they slide you in, slide you out. They take a quick picture of the heart and they determine how much calcium you may have in your arteries. If you have a significant amount of calcium in your coronary arteries, that means you have coronary plaque. That means you have disease that's there actually today. It may not be occlusive plaque, but it's still plaque that may lead to more disease down the road. And as we most people understand now, a lot of heart attacks occur when you rupture one of those plaques and you form a clot in one of the arteries. That's what causes a heart attack in the majority of people. So you get this calcium score. And so, for instance, man or woman, if you get a score of 100, that means you roughly have four times higher risk of having a future cardiac event compared to the average person your age. If you have a calcium score of 400, that means that even if you've never had an event in the future, you have a similar future risk as a person who's had a heart attack in the past. These calcium scores can be ordered by your primary care doctor. You don't necessarily even have to see a cardiologist. What do you do with that? Well, if you have an elevated calcium score and you've not had any problems, that may be the little nudge you need to say, I better follow those magic eight things that we just talked about, exercise a little more, keep my weight down, watch my cholesterol, et cetera.
Oh, but how does the primary care doctor know to order a calcium score like that? Is there factors like weight and health and diabetes, or I'm
Oh,
having
abs
chest pain? Okay, so all those
right.
things, they know how to do that.
They know how to do it. So they're taking care of the average risk factors. And so they're seeing the people that are diabetic. They're seeing the people that are overweight. They see the people that are relatively sedentary. So once again, and we've made it aware to our primary care physician partners here in Independence that this calcium score test is available. And once again, it's a screening test that if the numbers are high enough, then a lot of those patients end up transitioning over and seeing a cardiologist because that allows us to help with their future care. And the concept is that if we can prevent that first event, you're actually saving healthcare costs tremendously down the road because it's a whole lot cheaper to treat their cholesterol and have them exercise and lose weight than it is to wait for that first bypass surgery.
Absolutely. Denise, everything that he's saying is really indicative of the importance of working together as a health system. So, talk a little bit about your service line and how it integrates with other service lines.
Sure. So our service line is a combination of cardiology, electrophysiology, thoracic surgery, CT surgery or heart surgery, vascular surgery, and pulmonology, along with interventional radiology. Many, many patients require services from more than one discipline. So we very frequently meet as a leadership team to integrate those services and make sure we all are aware of the opportunities for screening, et cetera, like the calcium score that Dr. Addison mentioned is available. So that again, not only is cardiology being focused on that, but all of our other disciplines. We also work with our healthcare partners in the northern market for Independence to again integrate and combine services. We very much help to cover services when we need to, but we also help to establish new services like structural heart or a heart failure clinic so that again, patients have access regardless of where they live in the market in which we serve and provide care.
Let's talk about that heart failure for a minute. You mentioned that and how important that is to monitor because I remember working with you over the years and you explaining that heart failure can go from 0 to 100 very quickly. That fluid fills up very quickly. How do you monitor patients?
I'm going to let Dr. Addison answer that question.
Well, as far as monitoring the heart failure patients, first thing you have to do is a lot of the same risk factors that we worry about as far as coronary artery disease has a big part to play in what happens with heart failure. The interesting thing that if you look down the road, we've been able to actually decrease the likelihood of people dying from heart attacks, but still some of these people that have the heart damage with their age and their other risk factors become even higher risk later in life for developing heart failure. So once again, we monitor the same risk factors that we do for coronary disease and say these have to be addressed so you don't develop heart failure. Once those patients arrive in the hospital or in the office, and we determine that heart failure is part of the problem, whether it either be systolic heart failure, which is a weak heart muscle, or bad heart valves, or diastolic heart failure, which is actually much more common in the elderly people where the heart still squeezes well, but the heart becomes stiff. We monitor those people, and actually, we've been able to get a lot of these people into our heart failure clinic. And what our heart failure clinic is it's actually run by a nurse practitioner. We have a clinical pharmacist that helps us out with some of the newer medications and helps us get around a lot of times the costs of some of these drugs. And our goal is that once that patient's been identified, we have a very aggressive educational program for the patient and the family on the things that they have to do to try to control the heart failure issues and symptoms, and then do everything we can to get them on the standard guideline medical therapy that has been shown dramatically to decrease their risk of future events. So we work very hard on making decisions for the family or helping them make decisions that's going to help them long term for the patient's life, but specifically to try to keep them out of the hospital. Also, what we provide through our heart failure services is ways that these patients can a lot of times be managed at home when they start to have an early decompensation before they get sick enough to go to the hospital. We can actually have patients getting taken care of in their home and actually have diuretics administered in their home intravenously to prevent them from having to come back to the hospital. So this is an opportunity where we've learned in medicine, it's not just the doctor, it's not just the nurse, but it takes an entire team. And we've been able to assemble that. And statistically, it has allowed us to really drop our heart failure admissions down tremendously.
So important and just wonderful work being done at Independence Health System and the integration of all of these services, doctors talking to one another, taking care of the patient as a whole is just very, very important. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the cardiovascular service line, some of the advancements being made, and particularly how you can establish with a cardiologist in your community. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Today's guests are Dr. James Addisey. He's the medical director for the cardiovascular service line in the Westmoreland area of Independence Health System, and also Denise Addis, who's the vice president of cardiovascular services for Independence Health in the Westmoreland area. So we're really excited to have you both on the show today. We're continuing our four-part series in February about Heart Matters. And this is so critical for people to understand everything from diagnosis to treatment to recovery. And a lot of what we've been talking about over the series is going back to normal life, meaning you can live a quality of life that is the same as you had before you were either diagnosed or had some kind of heart procedure, but at the same time, living differently, understanding, being educated about this. And Denise, I think it's a real priority for Independence Health to educate these patients on how to live a healthier, longer life, correct?
That is correct. That's correct.
And Dr. Addisey, so many advancements being made, particularly in the partnerships between the CT surgery and the cardiologists, and so many more procedures happening here in Westmoreland County. Can you explain to people why that's so critical for a community? When you're void of these services, it can be dangerous. It can be life-threatening.
You know, one of the interesting things that we've been able to put together here over the last several years at former Xcel Health, but Independence South down here, is that we've been able to get a team of cardiac surgeons and their other ancillary people to work together with our cardiology team to the point where patients in this region may or may not realize that, but we actually have high rankings locally, statewide, and even nationally. So bringing in Dr. Sakui, who was one of your previous guests, and Dr. Ogawa, that when once we put these folks together, they've been able to go ahead and advance our program to do things we never did here before. As you talked about the aorta disease, where we have aortic dissections that can actually be cared for in the community. And once again, once you have an aortic dissection, the amount of time it takes for transport potentially puts the patient at more risk. That actually can be done here. We're doing advanced coronary work right now, and actually robotic coronary work can be done here. Robotic mitral valve procedures that we're doing here currently now, and other minimally invasive cardiac procedures. So really, in all honesty, from a surgical standpoint, unless you're talking about a person that's requiring a heart transplant, everything can be done right here in Westmoreland County, and which makes it easier on the patient, but also the family, because you don't have to go find a place to stay in Pittsburgh while your loved one's very sick. As far as cardiology is concerned, right now, we've advanced our coronary work so to the point we're using advanced equipment such as an Impella device, which allows us to do cases that used to only be done surgically. Now we can actually do in the cath lab with the extra protection of this device. Our structural heart program is really advanced. So if you look at aortic valves, and a lot of people know about these TAVR valves that we do now, where you can place an aortic valve. It originally was created for people that weren't great candidates for surgery, but now you can even take lower risk patients to save them the healing process of surgery, put a brand new heart valve in them, and they could actually walk out of the hospital the next day. And if you take our numbers compared to the numbers or with the numbers from our neighbors to the north, the Butler folks, we're probably, as far as putting these valves in, the top 25% in the United States right now.
Wow.
We've hired a Dr. Neeraj Shah, who is a structural heart expert who came to us, who was ahead of this from East Carolina University. We're now doing PFO closures and mitral valve clips, and in the soon near future, actually doing tricuspid valve procedures that would previously take people to the operating room. We can now do in the cath lab. So, I mean, this is being done right here, not necessarily. You don't have to go to John Hopkins, Harvard, UPMC, or downtown Allegheny. Those things are done right in your own community. So we've been fortunate enough to have these talented physicians right here in your own backyard.
And as far as HealthGrades is concerned, which is an organization that rates hospitals and programs, right now, Westmoreland Hospital holds the number one coronary intervention ranking in the state. That is a real plus and positive piece for our community, right? Again, stating that you don't need to leave Westmoreland County to get care. You can stay right here within your facility. And Jen, that is something that I think our community doesn't always recognize, is the caliber and the talent that we have of our docs, as well as the extent of the procedures that we are doing and performing here. As a nurse, I frequently get the call from neighbors, family members, et cetera, and say, my dad needs X done. Where would you go? And my answer is, I would go to Independence, Westmoreland, Latrobe, or Frick, depending on, again, the procedure, or to my partners in the north at Butler, but we can do that for you. You don't need to take a tunnel and a bridge to get to downtown to get that level or caliber of care. I
Yeah,
think that's.
I
Go
was just
ahead.
going to say, as far as HealthGrades is concerned, just understand that HealthGrades is an organization that we have no direct relationship with them. These are people that look at insurance, especially Medicare data. They look at outcomes, they look at complications, they look at length of stay. And they basically, if you live in California and you're thinking about moving to Southwest Pennsylvania and you're saying, where should I go for my cardiology care? this is the organization you would look up online to tell you where to go. Our cardiac surgical program, based on the last rankings, was rated in the top 50 in the United States, not just Westmoreland County or just in Pennsylvania, in the United States. Our overall cardiology program was ranked in the top 100 in the United States, not just Pennsylvania. And even just to branch out a little further, our thoracic surgical component of our service line, they were a 3-star rating by the Society of Thoracic Surgery, which technically puts them in the top 2% in the country. So once again, people have to understand this, that here in Westmoreland County, you don't have just pretty good healthcare. You have places that are nationally ranked, literally a stone's throw where many of you live. The other thing I just want to have people recognize is just the fact that in Westmoreland County, we do have an excellent ambulance service available, and our relationship with our EMS providers in this region has allowed us to really make our standard care for cardiology problems such as heart attacks nationally ranked also. So, for instance, Mutual Aid, which happens to be the third largest ambulance service in the state, which is literally 2 blocks from Westmoreland Hospital, their main office, they will arrive in a patient's house having chest pain. They can do an electrocardiogram there. If the person's having a heart attack, they send that to the emergency room at Westmoreland, and we have a cath lab team waiting for that patient as they get there. And heart muscle is dependent on how many minutes that artery's closed. And so that's been our way of saving a lot of people, not just quantity of life, but quality of life.
It's amazing. It's amazing what can be done in that pre-hospital care to save a patient's life for when they get into the hospital. And once again, not ignoring those symptoms, not ignoring your risk factors continues to be a key during our Heart Matters Month and this educational series brought to you by Independence Health System. You know, what I love about both of you is that you're so knowledgeable about the system, so knowledgeable about the work you do, but also that you have committed your lives to caring for the people of Westmoreland County. Dr. Addisi, talk about where you grew up, your education and your training, and then how you ended up here in Greensburg.
Well, I was actually born in this hospital, so I'm a local yokel. Grew up and spent, I basically played basketball and in the playground 2 blocks from the hospital. Graduated from Greensburg Salem, went to Penn State, went to medical school at Ross University, did my training at St. John's Hospital in Detroit, which is affiliated with Wayne State University's medical school. And then I did my fellowship partially there, and then I completed it at West Penn. The goal was for me to eventually come back to my hometown. I spent 6 years down in Morgantown, West Virginia, and worked at Mon Health down there. But eventually, when the opportunity arose, I moved back to Greensburg. And I've been here at the former Westmoreland, then Excella, now Independence Health System. So this has been a passion for me to be able to come home. I get to take care of people that I grew up with. I get to take care of a lot of my teachers, friends of my family. But it's a way for me to give back for all the great things that this community did for me as a child.
And they are so blessed to have you back here in Westmoreland County leading the service line. Denise, you've spent many, many years here. Tell us about where you grew up, your education and training, and then how you came back here to Westmoreland.
Sure. So I actually grew up in Murraysville. I went to Franklin Regional and went on to Villa Maria College to become a nurse. So I came here for my very first job, I'll say many, many, many years ago in 1982, and have been a nurse here since 1982. Went on to Pitt to get my master's degree in administration and education for nursing in the 90s. I've been here since then in a variety of positions and spent about 30 years as the, I'll call it the chief quality officer for Exela Health at the time, and have been the vice president for the cardiovascular service line since 2020. It has certainly been an honor to care for the community in which I grew up and to care for the patients in which I have been able to serve both in leadership as well as staff roles. You know, I always say we have the privilege of taking care of patients when they're their most vulnerable, and that's a real honor.
It is. It certainly is. And you both do a wonderful job at that. And Westmoreland Hospital sure is busy. I don't know how you guys keep up with the volume of patients that you have, particularly during this time of year. And you know, cold weather can also wreak havoc on the heart, I believe. And so more and more patients coming in, and you're all so busy. And you continue to add to the cardiovascular service line, and I believe even in partnership with the vascular folks, right?
Correct. Correct. We
And
work
that,
very closely with vascular surgery.
right. And that's key to understanding what's happening in the body and all of the technological advances that are happening. Dr. Addisi, last question for you is what are the biggest advancements you've seen in heart care over your years? What has really been the wow factor for you?
If you go back many years ago, even before I became a physician, and I remember just in childhood, I can remember some of the local doctors, and the concept was that if a person had a heart attack, you'd lay in a hospital bed for 2 weeks before you could go home. The whole concept right now, even after you have heart surgery, you're up walking the hallways as quickly as possible. And, you know, to increase your mobility and activity, that change has been incredible to watch. The other thing is, it used to be when I first started as an interventional cardiologist in the cath lab, there were certain combinations of blockages or type of blockages that you did not try to fix in the cath lab, such as left main disease. Now, left main stenting has become, depending on the anatomy, standard of care in many places. You're able to go ahead and fix arterial disease with the device that I told you about earlier, the Impella device, where we can actually fix people's hearts and actually almost do what heart surgeons do, actually in the cath lab, and have the patient walk out 3 or 4 days without a scar in the chest. As far as the surgeons, to watch them be able to actually do surgery without doing the traditional sternotomy, the big incision down the middle of the chest with a few little small holes, and robotically repair a valve and have that patient 2 weeks later functioning like there was nothing wrong with them to begin with. It's absolutely amazing. The medications that have now been created to use to treat people with advanced heart disease, especially heart failure, it's remarkable. Having people coming to the office with heart muscles that are extremely weak, and they're able to come into the office and ask me if they can join a gym. I mean, these things are just dramatic rather than being cardiac cripples. So the You know, sky's really the limit on what we're able to do.
This has been a wonderful conversation about Heart Matters, sponsored by Independence Health System. This entire month of February, we're focusing on prevention, treatment, recovery, for your heart. And I've really enjoyed talking to Dr. James Addisi. He's the medical director of the cardiovascular service line, and Denise Addis, who is the vice president of the cardiovascular service line. You two work great together. You're doing wonderful things. We couldn't be prouder here in the community to have you both and all of the services that you provide. We send our sincere thanks from the community, and we look forward to hearing more in the coming months and years. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.